ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, Text 31. Vishvam yade tasvatano nishante. Yathabakasham purusha parubhavan. Bibharti soyam magarbha gobhud. Ahona lokasya vidambanam hitad. Vishvam yade tatsvadatthano nishante. Yathavakasham purusha parobhavan. Vibharti soyam mama garbha gobhud. Ahona lokasya vidambanam hitad. Vishvam yade tatsvatanan shante. Yathavakasham purusha parobhavan. Vibharti soyam mama garbha gobhud. Ahona lokasya vidambanam hitad. Please chant. Ladies,
please.
Ladies, please. Vishvam yadethas vatano mishante. Vishvam, the entire cosmic manifestation, Yat Etat, containing all moving and non-moving creations, Svatano, within your body, Nishante, I'm sorry, Nishaante, at the time of devastation. Yata avakasam sham, shelter in your body without difficulty. Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Varaha, transcendental. Bhavan, your lordship. Bibharti, keep. Saha, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ayam, this form. Mama, my. Garbha Gaha, came within my womb. Abhut, it so happened. Sorry. Aho, alas, nirlokasya, within this material world of living entities, vidambanam, it is impossible to think of. He, indeed, tat, that kind of conception. Translation. At the time of devastation, the entire cosmos containing all created moving and non-moving entities enters your transcendental body and is held there without difficulty. But now this transcendental form has taken birth from my womb. People will not be able to believe this, and I shall become an object of ridicule. Devaki is offering her prayers to her newborn son who is standing before her, which is a form of Lord Vishnu, and in a diminutive form, he's a little baby, but he has all the raiment, all the sorry about that. Yes, he has all the clothes of royalty. And so she's responding to this newborn baby. Please repeat. At the time of devastation, the entire cosmos containing all created moving and non-moving entities enters your transcendental body and is held there without difficulty. But now this transcendental form has taken birth from my womb. People will not be able to believe this. And I shall become an object of ridicule. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, loving service to the personality of Godhead is of two different kinds. Aishvarya Purna, full of opulence, and Aishvarya Sitala, without opulence. Real love of God begins with Aishvarya Sitala, simply on the basis of pure love. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santasa Daiva Rideyeshu Valokayanti Yamshama Sundaram Achinta Gunasvarupam Govindam Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That's from the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text number 38. Continuing. Pure devotees. Pure devotees whose eyes are anointed with the ointment of prema, love, want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Shyam Sundara, Muralidhar, which means blackish, beautiful blackish boy, with a flute swaying in his two hands. This is the form available to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who are all in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Shyama Sundara, not as Lord Vishnu. So no one should think that there's two gods. If anyone who's listening would, on a superficial or surface glance, that might seem like that's what's being said. But but God, Krishna, can manifest any number of forms, but it's still the same one Krishna. In those different forms, he may manifest different moods, or different rasas, different feelings, different sentiments, according to his desire as well as the need or the desire of his devotees. So he's quite flexible. Continuing. This is the form available to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who are all in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Shyama Sundara, not as Lord Vishnu Narayan, who is worshipped in Vaikuntha, where the devotees admire his opulence. Although Devaki is not on the Vrindavan platform, she is near the Vrindavan platform. On the Vrindavan platform, the mother of Krishna is Mother who? Yes, Mother Yashoda, and not on the and on the Mathura and Dwarka platform. The mother of Krishna is Devaki. In Mathura and Dwarka, the love for the Lord is mixed with appreciation of his opulence. But in Vrindavan, the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not exhibited. There are five stages of loving service. Let me just very briefly explain what I just read. Many of you already understand it, but for those who don't, it's meant to hear that Devaki, let me read it again. In Mathura and Dvarka, the love for the Lord is mixed with appreciation of his opulence, but in Vrindavan, the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not exhibited. So what do we mean by opulence? So, in a palace, people wear certain types of clothes, which we call royal dress, silks and pearls and gold and diamonds and emeralds and rubies. They wear fancy golden headdresses. They speak in a certain way, very polished language, self-controlled. In other words, there's a certain element of sophistication and restraint in opulence. Whereas it said over here that Sorry. But in Vrindavan, the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not exhibited. Well, in Vrindavan, generally speaking, the people dress in a very simple way. Remember, they're cowherds and cowherd girls, and simple cloth, simple dress, simple cholis. They do have some ornamentation, a ring here, maybe a necklace there. Their hair is not fixed in any very more special way, as we might find in the palace, where the queens or the princesses have access to hairdressers every day to have a different type of hairdo if they wish to. Parting here, curling it, or whatever. So the important point here is opulence means it means gold, it means silver, it means polish. It means just what it says. You walk into a palace and everybody acts and walks and speaks in a certain way. Whereas you walk to the gopis in Vrindavan, they're not so watchful. They're not so much concerned about this restraint of speech. They laugh out loud, kind of thing. They're not concerned about what anybody thinks about their laughter. Whereas when you go in high society, you always are on your guard to be sure that everybody is respecting and watching you and regarding you in the way that you're expected to be regarded, namely as a noble. Not the gopis. They laugh, they joke, they talk, they express their loving sentiments about Krishna to one another. Oh, Krishna! In fact, there's a whole chapter in the Krishna book where the gopis express their sentiments of their love for Krishna when he goes out into the pasturing grounds, how the cows listen for his flute and they raise their ears up high, and how the deer kiss and lick at Krishna's feet, and how fortunate all the cowherds. They're talking like this, but in a very spontaneous, very easygoing, not very careful, self-conscious manner. Is that all clear? The whole idea is one of, as I just mentioned, uninhibited expression. That's the gopis. And it's all coming from the depth of their hearts. It is coming from the love that they feel for Krishna. And that's not only the gopis, that's also Mother Yashoda. And I'll get into that, but I want to finish this purport, because it's rather long. There are five stages of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhura. They're not translated here, but Shanta basically means worshipping in awe and reverence. There's no form there, but you're worshipping the opulence, the grandeur, the majesty, the glory of Krishna. And that's the main idea, that there's nobody higher, bigger, better, greater, grander than Krishna. And that's a form of worship. Then there's Dasya, in which we have servitorship. A good example of that is Hanuman, who is the foremost of servants of Lord Ramachandra. And then we have Sakya, and a good example of that is Arjuna, of course. And then the young little cowherd boys, which is a little different. The rasa is slightly, the nuances are different. They're even more spontaneous than even Arjuna. They're little kids. They shout out, they scream, they yell, things like that. Like, for example, the cowherd boys are walking behind Krishna. They're maybe 30, 40 yards behind him. And one will say, "I'll race you. Who can touch Krishna first? I can beat you." "No, you can't." "Yes, I can. Come on, let's go. 1, 2, 3, go." This is the cowherd boys. They have no restraint. And when they reach Krishna, one of the cowboys says, "I won." And the other one says, "No, I won. No, I won. I won. Krishna, who won?" "Oh, it doesn't matter." That's how he answers. "It really doesn't matter." But to them, you know, touching Krishna first is a big deal because they love Krishna. They have such feeling for Krishna. They want so much to be near Krishna. So who can touch him first? That's like a big deal. It's a big achievement. So we need to kind of tune into that kind of a mood of these little gopas, even though they're just little innocent cowherd boys. But they're not ordinary cowherd boys. As Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, due to millions and millions of years of austerities and pious activities, worship and love of God. They have, if you will, quote, earned the grace of Krishna's mercy to be in this very, very amazing, wondrous position, to be able to touch Krishna, to be able to put Krishna on their backs. You know, when Krishna loses the duel, he has to carry the other cowherd boys. So here he is. He's holding up the whole universe. And he loses the game, and he has to carry his little friends. That's all part of pastime, and Krishna is loving every moment of it. Okay. Yes, so coming back now. There are five stages of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I said Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, which is parental, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. They're always concerned about Krishna, whether some demon is going to pounce upon him. They want to protect. They want to guide him. They want to correct him. All these things are there. And Madhurya, which is a romantic type of thing. It's Prabhupada refers to as conjugal, although not all the gopis there are married. Conjugal in the sense that there's this togetherness, there's this heartfelt, heart-stopping love, that when Krishna disappears for even a second, that's like death to them. Think about that. Death to them, because they want to be with Krishna every moment, every second, every hour. They dream of Krishna. When they eat, they think of Krishna. When they milk the cows, they're imagining Krishna. Never a moment is there when they are not thinking of Krishna and yearning and hoping, when will that beautiful, beautiful Shyamasundara come down, come back from the pasturing grounds? We're waiting. Come on. Come. The sun is going down. And they're looking. They're craning their necks. Is he coming yet? And then they're hearing the slight sound of the flutes and the buffalo horns. Ah, Krishna is coming. There he is. And they stop their milking. They stop their churning. They stop all. And they wait there with bated breath and open wide eyes. And their breath is practically suspended. And they're just waiting and waiting. Awaiting, and there he is, and tears start to flow down their eyes. Their beloved Krishna, the one whom they've been thinking about all day and in separation from, finally, finally, there he is, and they feel so wonderful, so grateful, so gladdened, as we can never even imagine, since none of us, including myself, can even understand that love. We can possibly appreciate it by Krishna's grace, and that's what devotee means, that we can appreciate by the grace of Krishna. But a non-devotee cannot. He just sees this. He just sees it just another little boy. Continuing. So, Devaki is on the platform of Vatsalya. She wanted to deal with her eternal son Krishna in that stage of love, as her child, as her baby. And therefore she wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead to withdraw his opulent form of Vishnu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur illuminates this fact very clearly in his explanation of this verse. Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam cha yo vyabhacharena bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate, which means one who engages in the spiritual activities of unalloyed devotional service immediately transcends the modes of material nature and is elevated to the spiritual platform. So this is the benefit of engaging in spiritual activities, unalloyed devotional service. We have to take careful note of the word unalloyed, not just ordinary devotional service, although that is beneficial too. No one should think, even if you're performing a devotional service with some indifference, with some uncaringness, with even some carelessness. Pardon? Somebody's out there? Okay. So anyway, even with carelessness, it doesn't matter. The very fact that a person is making his effort, he's taking a step towards Krishna, Krishna is happy. Sure, it's not like, you know, some great devotee like Srila Prabhupada would worship him or perform service to him. Of course not. It's a million, billion, trillion, zillion miles away. But he started. And Krishna wants all his children back. And he's so happy, even with the indifference. Of course, he's not going to give the same blessings to a person who has indifference and carelessness or thoughtlessness as a person who is watching everything so carefully and so eager, so desiring that Krishna should be pleased with his service. So, of course, grace is not what we call just a something. It has different degrees. It has different extents, different intensities. So we should understand that we get, it is an old saying that you get what you put into it. So if we put into more input into our loving service with as much love, with as much care, with as much thoughtfulness, with as much undying selflessness, this kind of selflessness in which you feel really that my body is yours, Krishna, my mind is yours, my intelligence is yours, my senses are yours, my soul, that belongs to, it's not my soul, I, the soul, belong to you. So please use me in any which way you want to. You can kill me if you want. You can hug me if you want. You can exalt me if you want. Do what you want. It really doesn't matter because you're my master and I'm a servant, and a servant has no independence and no determination. His only business is, what can I do for you to please you, Lord? So, continuing. From the very beginning of one's transactions in bhakti, one is situated on the transcendental platform. Vasudeva and Devaki, therefore, being situated in a completely pure devotional state, are beyond this material world and are not subject to material fear. In the transcendental world, however, because of pure devotion, there is a similar conception of fear which is due to intense love. I think I should at least briefly explain that. Vasudeva and Devaki, therefore, being situated in a completely pure devotional state, are beyond this material world and are not subject to material fear. But in the transcendental world, however, because of pure devotion, there is similar conception of fear. So in the transcendental world, what we have is, for example, you have Mother Yashoda. She thinks of herself as a mother. And if anything is threatening, anything is offending, anything is disturbing her little boy, her lovable, charming son, Krishna, she becomes afraid. She doesn't think, oh, he's the Supreme Lord of the universe. She doesn't think like that. Of course, one may ask, well, why shouldn't she? Because after all, Krishna, he's killing so many demons. He's destroying so many of them. But they never think that Krishna is really the destroyer. They keep saying that he must be protected by Lord Vishnu. That's their understanding. Krishna is just a little boy. This is Krishna Vrindavan. Now, in the mood of Krishna, Krishna Vishnu, okay. Krishna Narayan. I was thinking, yeah, Krishna Vasudev. That's a different personality. That's a fighting personality. That's a general. Krishna Vrindavan is playful. He's frolicsome. He's full of laughter and jokes and spontaneous expressions. He goes chasing after monkeys. This is the Supreme Lord of the universe. He's chasing monkeys and making funny faces at them. Yeah, he's pulling their tails. And the monkeys are running away, and they see frogs in the ponds. They're diving into the frogs. This is the Supreme Lord, Vrindavan Krishna. But not Vasudev Krishna. That's a different mood. It's a different personality. It's more polished. It's more sophisticated. It's palace life. That doesn't mean that he can't suddenly change. If he wishes to, he can. But that's the demeanor that he manifests. And we have to understand that. And it's very important. And the purists of our sampradaya, they make a very clear distinction of the two aspects of Krishna, and which aspect do you want to fall in love with? That's another very important. In Vrindavan, they fall in love with the Vrindavan Krishna, the playful, lovable, frolicsome, lovable Krishna, the darling, the charming one. Whereas in Vasudeva, in the palace, in Dvarka and Mathura, they also love him. But it's more in awe, it's more in reverence, it's more in submissiveness, it's more in servitorship. Those spontaneous feelings are very special. And they are graces that Krishna gives one when he has, to Krishna's satisfaction, has made his devotional service so pleasurable, so pleasing, so satisfying to Krishna that he awards them this forgetfulness, what we call yoga maya forgetfulness. Forgetfulness of Krishna's lofty, opulent, glorious, high form. Okay? Okay, as I read this page, let me go to the next. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataham. That's 1855. Anybody like to give a quick translation? Huh? One who knows me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone like to finish it? Hey, come on. Yeah. Yes, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Thank you so much. Bhagavatam, and is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, bhaktyaham ekaya grahya, without bhakti, one cannot understand the spiritual situation of the Lord. Very important principle. Without bhakti, sometimes we get involved in analysis. Torturesome analysis. Well, he did this, I think, because of this. Well, maybe he did it because of this. I've seen devotees get into discussions, debates, and arguments over these things, and at the end they end up hating one another. I don't want to look at this guy because he's bananas. He's bogus. He's no good. He's going to fall down. I've heard these things. We should not waste our time in this. We should always be thinking, 5 minutes I have left to live, or maybe 5 seconds. Is that what we want to be thinking of? We want to be debating and thinking. We debate primarily to build up the false ego. I'm better than you. I'm the Lord. I'm a better devotee. I'm greater. I'm higher. What the good is that? Even if you are better, what is the value? Krishna's not going to be appreciating that, because it's pride, it's arrogance, it's vanity, it's conceit. That's what Krishna is not pleased by. He's pleased by humility and modesty, unassumingness. I'm smaller, lower than the straw on the street. That's how we please Krishna, and we act in that manner, you see. So, without bhakti, we should keep that in mind. Bhakti is the main focus. And when we stop loving God, when we stop thinking of God lovingly, caringly, dependently, as Krishna said, in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not think in that consciousness, but act through false ego, me, 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 I, mine, like I just described, those arguments, you will be what? Lost, yes. What does that mean to be lost? It means that Krishna withdraws. He says, you want to be a me? You want to be a Lord? You want to be great? Go ahead and argue. And when you realize what a pointless, fruitless, worthless activity this is, and you want to come back to me and just drink the nectar, I'm waiting. My arms are open. But when you try to be a me, I have nothing to do. You come into this world to do that, and I thought for sure that you'd given up this madness, but apparently, even as a devotee, you're still in the madness. We do those things. And this is the basis of falling down. Wanting to be big, wanting to be great. I'm a great this, I've done this, I've done so many books. Krishna should give me some special mercy. All these things. No, Krishna shouldn't give. We should be trying to give our love more and more and more, unlimitedly. Because Krishna, what? He deserves it. He's given us so much grace, so much kindness, so much sweetness, so much love, so much care. This very moment He's caring for us. There's no bombs falling here. There's nobody shouting, nobody screaming, nobody making noise, nobody disrupting. This is all Krishna's grace. We should not think, this is due to my great merits. Forget it. If we really went back into our past sins, a lot would be happening, more than what is happening now. When I say now, the peacefulness of this atmosphere is so wonderful, so glorious. We have so much to be thankful for. That's why we give everything to Krishna and feel that we've given nothing. Keep in mind that. We give everything to Krishna and feel you've done nothing because you owe. We're in debt. We have so much more to give and should give and should try to. There's no end to it. Okay? So. Yes. Bhagavatam. Without bhakti, one cannot understand the spiritual situation of the Lord. Bhakti may be considered in three stages called Guni Bhuta, Pradani Bhuta, and Kevala. And according to these stages, there are three divisions, which are called Jnana, Jnanamayi, and Rati, or Prema. That is simple knowledge, love mixed with knowledge, and pure love. By simple knowledge, one can perceive transcendental bliss without variety. This perception is called manabhuti. When one comes to the stage of jnanamayi, one realizes the transcendental opulences of the personality of Godhead, such as Dwarka and Mathura, those residents. But when one reaches pure love, one realizes the transcendental form of the Lord as Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. This is what is wanted, Prabhupada says. Especially in the Madhurya Ras. Again, that's the romantic, that's the loving the Lord as a spouse or as a boyfriend. There are two aspects to this. Parakya Ras is one of them, and then there's just Parakriya Ras means loving him even when you should not be doing it, but you love him anyway. Your parents say, don't go out and meet with Krishna in the dead of night, but you go anyway. So this is Parakriya. One becomes attached to the personality of Godhead, Sri Vigraha Nishta Rupadi. Then loving transactions between the Lord and the devotee begins. Transactions means interactions, interplay, giving and taking. The way it's written in Madhurya Ras, it's spontaneous, without any constraint, without any refinement, without any self-control. It's just, as it comes from the heart, it's blurted out in form of action and thought and feeling. The special significance of Krishna's bearing a flute in his hand in Vrajabhumi, Vrindavan, is described as Madhuri Virajate. The form of the Lord with the flute in his hand is most attractive. And the one who is most sublimely attracted is Srimati Radharani Radhika. She enjoys supremely blissful association with Krishna. Sometimes people cannot understand why Radhika's name is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, however, Radhika can be understood from the word aradhana, which indicates that she enjoys the highest loving affairs with Krishna. That's why when we even say the name, when we think of her, we say prayers to her, our love for her, our esteem, our awe, our admiration for her should be so high that we cannot see the end of it. And by doing that, that's how we get her blessings. Because she sees that we admire. What are we admiring? Just that she's with Krishna? No, that she has so many wonderful, glorious, admirable, amazing qualities that attracts Krishna to her. And we want those qualities also because we want to be attracted to Krishna. And we want a closer and dearer relationship with Krishna. Of course, after that comes love and separation, which is a whole other lecture, which I won't go into. The special significance, I already read that. She enjoys supremely blissful association with Krishna. Sometimes people can, I already said that, I'm sorry. Not wanting to be ridiculed for having given birth to Vishnu, Devaki wanted Krishna with two hands, and therefore she requested the Lord to change his form. Just before I explain that, Amagyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master and opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So I'll just conclude this talk with a brief explanation of Devaki not wanting to be ridiculed for giving birth to Vishnu. If she were to tell her friends, you know, I've given birth to Vishnu, they would just think she's crazy. You know, you've been locked up in a prison. I think that you haven't seen enough fresh air, or you ought to go out, or you better change your whole mindset. Because when a person, suppose I were to come in and I says, you know, what does it say here? If I say that, well, yeah, I just saw Vishnu. And then you would say, well, why are you telling me this? What is it? Do you want to impress me? You want to amaze me? You want me to admire you? You want me to bow down to your feet? So that's the point. So she's afraid it's going to get that if she's asked about this, then, and she has to say, well, yeah, I gave birth to the Lord, then they won't believe her, and they'll think that she's a little bit daffy. So, and the other aspect of that is that she doesn't want Krishna to keep his forearms, because when Kamsa comes in, remember, Kamsa was killed by whom? He was killed by Lord Vishnu in his previous life when his name was Kalanemi. There was a big fight between the demigods and the demons. And Kalanemi, being one of the demons, he hurled a missile at Garuda. And the Lord Vishnu was on the back of Garuda. He pushed out his arm, grabbed the missile, and took it and flung it back at Kalanemi and killed him immediately. Now, although Kamsa may not remember that, it's in his subconscious. And therefore, that fear of Vishnu is so great. And especially over the fact that he wants to be an emperor. And Vishnu represents a threat to that desire, that ambition. So therefore, Devaki is so fearful that he will be so enraged to want to kill this. So she says, get rid of those extra arms that you have. And get rid of all this, the kingly raiment. Get rid of all this jewelry. Just be an ordinary little boy, and maybe he won't bother you. Maybe he'll look at you as you are, and he'll just see you as an ordinary child, because you don't have all this. So the point is that Devaki is showing her maternal love. And although she is, yes, she's a princess, Devaki. She was brought up by, it was King Deva. Nonetheless, she is also a mother now, and her maternal feelings are evinced, are exhibited, are expressed. And therefore, she's very much afraid for her little child, her little boy, which she's not thinking of as the Supreme Lord at this moment, because of the fact that she's feeling affection, protection. And that's her feeling at this moment. That could change, of course, but that's her feeling. So, I'll end here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.
Is what?
Is abstract, actually.
Abstract?
Yeah, there's no person there. There's no person, Radha.
Who said that?
But we read in Krishna's wife in Lakshmani.
You didn't hear the whole lecture. When Krishna has his eternal consort, is Radha. Krishna. Vishnu, another manifestation of Krishna, Lakshmi. Okay? Then not two Vishnus, different personalities.
Oh, okay.
You see, different personalities. Because he is Supreme Lord, he can make 100 personalities, you see. And he can have 100 different wives too, you see. So that's for the more informal Vrindavan Radha. For Madhura and